Expressed on this program are not necessarily the views of KWBA Radio or the Associated Students of the University of Oregon. Anarchy Radio is an editorial collage providing analysis and opinions of John Zerzan and the community at large.
That's right. You are listening to KWBA Eugene, and it is time for Anarchy Radio on this fine Tuesday. I'm here in the studio with John. The number is 541-346-0645. You want to call in just a little bit. But first, as always, we have a musical selection. And tonight's is going out to all of the nihilists out there.
A little more nothing. Friday once more nothing. A Monday garnish, a ding stick garnish, mit Vulcan garnish stick garnish. Freitag for a novena garnish, giggle out job as white garnished. Lunes nada, Martes nada, Miércoles y Jueves nada, Viernes por cambio un poco más nada, Sábado otra vez
nada.
Philosophy, history, nothing. Social anthropology,
nothing. Oh, Village Voice, nothing. New Yorker, nothing. Sing out in folkways, nothing. Harry Smith.
An ode to nihilism, yes it is. From the Fugs' first album, they probably knew there'd never be another album. But there you have it. On September 20th, Danhaf from Fall Equinox, when the night and the day are of equal length. Cliff will be here in 2 weeks. Yeah, he's going to join us. And later in the month, Kath will be back from Europe. Well, speaking of nihilism, there's a brand new offering from Greece just today, making its way by translation. It's called The project, or the website, is called Antisocial Evolution, an egoist nihilist thing. And I think I wasn't the only one who probably focused on this. The last part of their opening message is, we dedicate these words to those who don't belong anywhere. So, they're against systems, ideologies, and so forth. I mean, certainly not without radical content, but it's hard not to see this as another result when people decide nature is gone, community is gone, and forever, and you just write it off, and then you end up in this kind of self-absorbed despair is what I basically got out of it in sum. Yeah, nothing is nothing is the watchword. Yeah, anarchy, nothing, and so forth. Well, maybe they should go out to Standing Rock. Because all those people that are really clueless, these indigenous folks, I mean, how dumb to fight for their connection to the earth or each other, to try to hang on to something and fight back. That's dumb. That, They need to be, they need to get the word, not the good word, the bad word, I guess you'd say. Let's see, this is the fifth year since Occupy, the five-year anniversary. I don't know what there is. I don't think there was a whole lot of commentary about this, except negatively. I mean, it had no vision, had no critique. It didn't turn into Deoccupy. In terms of ideas, it was weak leftism. And things have gone downhill since, because that opportunity was totally biffed. I think that's part of it. It's symptomatic, anyway, I would say. Well, here's something I wanted to clear up. Something confused me a little. It's no biggie, no harm, no foul, but I was listening to The Brilliant. They put up episodes 32 and 33 in the past day or so. Well, they said, it's not a big thing to them either, but they said that I was challenging them or criticizing them for an absence of specific positive projects. And I don't remember doing that. I'm not sure where that came from, frankly, but because actually I was called out on that. Anarchy Radio was called out on that. Why don't you feature more projects that are underway that people are actually doing? And to me, it brings up the same old question about the negative and the affirmative. You know, Anarchy Radio, frankly, stresses the negative. I mean, I basically think that these good projects, these things that are very worth doing, they won't be allowed to go very far until you smash what stands in their way. So, and I don't think the one or two calls about this meant that they were not, that they were against the negative, but, and it's a fair point. It's an interesting point. And here's one, just throw this out. I don't know anything about it actually, but it's called Sustainability and Self-Sufficiency Don't Exist Within Civilization. But taking steps is a good idea. I think that's what they're getting at. It's called the Good Men Project. Mike Sliwa, who's a former high school teacher. It has involved 5 years of homesteading, Stone Age tools, no domestication. So that sounds interesting. And one more thing, I was kind of going back and forth about whether to bring this up. On The Brilliant, Aragorn talks about 10 minutes about a negative experience he had in Portland last month. He spoke about Antifa, among other things, and apparently a lot of people severely abused him. They thought he was there to put down Antifa. And I didn't really get why he was so abused, what it was that caused all this hostility, nor did I find out what he had to say. I mean, what did he have a critique? Anyway, I'm talking about anti-fascist activities, anti-skinhead stuff, as it used to be called. And Aragorn's been around the block with that, not recently, I guess. But, and you know, I think the critique is simple. He didn't get around to saying it, and maybe that's not what he brought. Maybe, I mean, there can be irrational antipathy. I don't know. I wasn't clear on why he got such a rain of abuse up there, but. I mean, the critique to me is simple. If you make a fetish of focusing on a few creeps, you're really missing what's far more important and interesting. Antifa itself is not radical. And so if that's your whole bag, you kind of, in effect, ruling out what is radical. You know, there's no real depth. And I must say, I want to add, I'm not against taking a baseball bat to these morons, not at all. But if you're making a whole thing out of it that you have to identify as and be way defensive about and everything, which is maybe what happened to Aragorn, then, you know, you're kind of missing out. You're seeing a very slight slice of what's really happening. They don't represent a social force in this country. You know, you can blow them up into a big bogeyman, but, you know, it's not true. So maybe I'll get some of that good old abuse myself. Okay, a little about the violence, some of the violence, the very small part of the violence that happened in the past week. And I'm not going to talk about the bombings in New York and New Jersey on the weekend all too much. spoken about that. I don't have anything to add. No one was killed, fortunately. But some of the rest of it here, don't want to lose sight. These mass shootings are still going on. A 77-year-old man last Wednesday at a senior complex shot three and then killed himself. And this Tulsa thing is worth mentioning as another very recent prime example of a white pig killing an unarmed black person. Black man, this is just straight up murder, and I don't know how they're going to very effectively cover this up. Guy had no gun, he had his hands up, and blew him away. And this was Friday, and also Friday, two cops in Fort Worth were shot Friday evening. Let's see, just a little bit more of this. LA Times reported that also Friday evening, two people fatally shot and two others critically wounded in East Hollywood. Apparently a Latino guy just firing into a crowd up by Silver Lake, East Hollywood. And there was a shooting on Saturday. I don't want to get into an endless litany, a whole big list on this, but two people were killed and seven injured shooting at a community event in the nation's capital. Community event, community for sure. Some kind of a concert in D.C. And this one, this has some interesting points, also of the saddest variety, but multiple people, 10, in fact, as the dust cleared, injured in a stabbing attack at a shopping mall in central Minnesota Saturday night. All of this just within a day or two. St. Cloud, Minnesota. This guy was born in Kenya, and there are some indications that this was a jihadist kind of thing. I don't know if that's absolutely been figured out, but he was a security guard, and these are some of the things that were said about him. He was a model of assimilation. He was a sweet, humble guy, a normal American kid. Once again, you hear that, quiet dude. I mean, you know, he never caused any trouble. And a wild chase and shootout through the streets of Philadelphia Friday night left two cops and four civilians wounded and a woman and the suspect fatally shot. Two cops were ambushed, and then all the rest of this broke out and came down. And then Saturday night, second night in a row, Philadelphia cops came under fire. This time nobody was hit, apparently, so alrighty. Well, you know what got covered up a little bit? Not totally, but 10 days ago, there was a great big old pipeline rupture in Alabama, and now they're saying 336 gallons of refined gasoline got away, 6,000 barrels. Friday a week ago. So the Wall Street Journal headline, such as it was, pipeline outage lifts gas futures. Of course, it's only about the dollar sign to the Wall Street Journal. And it's true, the gas price of gas for the consumer, as well as the people who are manipulating the market and so on. Once again, you see the vulnerability of things. This is a major, major pipeline. Today in the New York Times, the latest news, second lowest summer sea ice ever in the Arctic. And the projections now are there will be no sea ice in the summer. There won't be any at all. Completely gone by 2030. Not so far down the road. And also today, from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, 16th consecutive month of record-breaking heat. It broke the old August record set last year. You get the point. This will be the hottest summer ever. They already know that, pretty much. And last Thursday, New York Times, September 15th, Nearly all the globe's excess heat is going to one place, the oceans. Story by Tim Wallace. And there it is. The oceans can only absorb so much carbon dioxide and other global overheating gases, and they can't... Well, they can keep absorbing the heat probably far longer until you get to the boil, I guess. But and that's really consistently rising for at least 30 years. And that ain't no joke. That's a very obvious trend. From The Guardian yesterday in England, they're talking about this piece is called An American Tragedy, Why Are Millions of Trees Dying Across the Country? Climate change, they conclude. And yeah, that's, for example, 66 million trees in the Sierra Nevada. It's mostly California and other mountain states. Dead since 2010. 66 million since 2010, according to the Forestry Service. And one specific thing, in Hawaii, a very common tree is the ohia. The ohia tree is dying, and they term it rapid ohia death disease. Kind of catchy. If you don't know what it is, you just say, well, it's killing everything. The entire native ecosystem there is at risk with this going on. And here's another striking thing from the week that was. 1.5 billion birds in the recent decades in North America are gone. It's a summary of bird populations from the Canadian Rarers by Bob Weber last Wednesday. Survey from a bunch of agency, dozens doing this survey. Those that are threatened and those that are just plain dead. Land bird numbers, basically. The story of the continental bird population in North America. And another hot one, just giving you the highlights here, huh? International Business Times, I think it was yesterday, or on the weekend, reported that the haze of burning of Indonesia's forests for agriculture has resulted in 100,000 premature deaths in 2015. Several months of smog. That's just 1 year. 100,000 premature deaths, according to this research they're reporting. And relatedly, there's an orangutan die-off due to palm oil agriculture. A lot of these fires are for palm oil plantations. And just a little bit more, sort of strictly environmental stuff. The Jiaoqing River flows 134 miles in China. The name means clean and clear. Well, now it's poisoned and stinking, and for a whole lot of stuff, just garbage, acids. In fact, the main acid is perfluorooctanoic acid, or PFOA, long used by DuPont in the production of Teflon. Of course, it's linked to cancer and a great big old stinking contamination as the Jiaoqing flows through Shandong province. Tens of millions of people depend on it. And there was a story about Tampa Bay and the failure of the sewage system. Lots and lots of sewage, human waste in Tampa Bay. Reminds me of the sewage in the Rio's Bay before and during and after the Olympics. And that now it's now common knowledge that our water is full of drugs and we don't know their effects. It's just, you know, you're drinking some part of your neighbor's leftover medicines that got flushed down the toilet or down the drain. All these things that really are not screened or really have no way of filtering out. And yeah, and we don't know what the impact is. I mean, And this has to do with the general result of the whole picture, the whole dominant culture. New York Times Magazine this weekend on the 18th, Ferris Jobber, this is a hopeful deal in itself here, talking about big pharma, well, the antibiotics specifically, but more than that, are reaching their end. You know, and there's going to be a battle. There's going to be countless millions spent to block this off. But he's saying what we need is plants, not these pharmaceutical products. This is definitely primitivo here. In other words, remedies from botanicals have been known for thousands of years, but they've been displaced by the drug peddling mega industry, big pharma. So he's pointing that's the way to go, and it, among other things, he's listing all these things that are simple. They just can cure all these different things. That will have to be in competition with the problems on a deeper level, perhaps, of what drives on a pretty fundamental level, chronic diseases that are getting more chronic, more widespread, people just getting torn down from life. I mean, that's why these things become attractive to people. Promises some big, heavy impact. You pay the price for that because you've already paid the price for that with your body living, you know, having to endure a mad mode of living. Here's another, just one more contamination story. Massive sinkhole in a storage pond in Florida. Sinkhole opened up underneath the storage pond from a phosphate supplier. Mosaic is the name of the corporation, 45 feet in diameter. So this storage pond, phosphoric acid laced storage pond, now has fallen into the groundwater, into the underground resources of drinking water. So it's not only contaminated from the phosphoric acid of the phosphates, but it is also slightly radioactive. But according to, this is a gypsum outfit, and they say, the company says, there's absolutely nobody at risk. Yeah. 200 million gallons of contaminated wastewater from the storage pond going into the drink, well, absolutely nobody at risk. Couldn't be. Here's a little number about urbanism. Love these stories about cities. Modern cities, you know, global cities, they're so cool. Everything's fine. They're more and more technology and everything else. I think I was, not so long ago, I was talking about people living in drawers in Japan. You know, the space, it's just a big drawer. Or in a packing crate in some other part of the world. Or here's a story that's gotten kicked around a little bit on the weekend. It's called Tight Rental Market. It's about features Jack Leahy, 25-year-old musician, recent inhabitant of New York City. It shows him standing in his 40-square-foot apartment. 40 square feet. Now, let's see, that would be 4 by 10, I think. He doesn't hardly have room to even sit. It's tucked into the ceiling of a performance space, I think a rehearsal space in Brooklyn. So he's not actually even in Manhattan, he's in Brooklyn. But the rent is $450 a month. He has to go somewhere else for the toilet and the shower and the cooking, you know. But the guy works in a pizza restaurant. Said he faced fierce competition for the unit. Yeah, there's, boy, people would die to live in a tiny, even in a zoo, animals have more room, but here in the urban zoo, people are more and more degraded and humiliated, and that's the way it is. You want to be in New York for whatever reason, there you are. Well, let's see. Okay. Well, let's take a break. We have Richie Al Dente.
Carpe diem, carpe diem. They were having hard times like many lovers do, fighting over nothing at all, with no resolve. Going to bed angry sure kills the mood. Sitting back, I looked at them, two young artists working jobs, yet barely getting by. Put myself into their shoes, out there paying dues. Stick it out, and you will find your two people with dreams of your own who fall in line. You need to go on. Two people with patience and hope. The seed has been sown, so let it grow. If you love something, set it free. Did not work for me. Opportunity pushed her right out of the door. So wrapped up in my silly dreams, couldn't see her knees. Now she's gone, and I'm curling on the floor. If I could go back, wouldn't change a thing. I still feel a sting that only a broken heart can bring. King of pain on the soul. I'm not cool with it. Stick it out, and you will find your two people with dreams of your own who fall in love. You need to go on. Two people with patience and hope. The seed has been sown, so
the song stylings of Richie Al Dente and his group. Yeah, I love it. Maybe with a straight face, I'm not sure. Well, here's an interesting deal I saw. This goes back to the 70s. 1976, the Leakeys, the famous anthropological folks, did most of their work in Africa, in East Africa. They found some footprints in 1976. Let's see. Yeah, and for a long time, people looked at these preserved footprints and thought that, well, these people weren't probably all that human, or not human yet at all. They weren't Homo species, perhaps. Well, they've found different ways to go at this, different methods, and what they've found is kind of surprising. They could measure the gait just by looking at, that's easy. But it wasn't like apes, and it is really just exactly the way we walked. I don't know how all the different steps or how they got a different look at it. But not only did our ancestors walk upright at 3.66 million years ago. 3.66 million years ago. They walked like us. So that's kind of a little bit shocking. They resembled us more than was thought by quite a long ways. Well, on to action news. The invaluable action news. And I wanted to start, this is, you know, this whole Colin Kaepernick thing, the quarterback with the San Francisco 49ers. It's been going on for a week or two, I guess. And it's been spreading, you know, kneeling or sitting, mostly kneeling, I guess, at the time of the national anthem, not standing up to honor the flag. I mean, it's a gesture. It's just a gesture, but there's something more fundamental at stake, in one way, at least. And this was brought out, one way this is brought out, op-ed piece yesterday, David Brooks, the New York Times, his column is called "Anthem Kneeling Stands Against U.S. Solidarity." You know, it was widely said, well, this is such a free country. He has the right to do that. You know, nobody's going to bust him. Although, huge amount of abuse and pressure against doing that. And it's spreading somewhat to other pros and other high school athletes. But this point about standing against U.S. solidarity, without having to quote the piece at all, that's what it's all about. That's what the system is always striving to effect. How do we integrate everybody into the dominant order? You know, kind of the nobody left behind idea. So this is a threat. You know, it's not exactly the most huge thing, but it's threatening to these people who are already maybe nervous about the way things are going and how many people are not thrilled ideologically and otherwise. And of course, this is about what's happening to blacks at the hands of the pigs. And somebody who's making millions of bucks like Colin Kaepernick, well, he's not the only one who's making a visible protest about it. Okay, onward. On September 10th, this is southeast France, a group of activists destroyed 15 hunting towers. Later that night, magpies were released from an aviary signed "until all the cages are opened." September 11th, over 5,000 people demonstrated in the streets of Côte d'Amour to show their opposition to shell sand extraction in the Lannion Bay. No to plundering. And sometime during that night, a government building in Lannion was attacked with an incendiary device and lots of slogans spray painted. That's in France. And Thursday night, the 8th, yeah, I jumped ahead here. Thursday night, the 8th, quote, "We set fire to the fleet of the federal police in Magdeburg." This is an action in Germany. 18 vehicles. Estimated damages of 750,000 euros. Very major. And I think that's northwest Germany. And in Peru, rural community of San Juan de Yanacocha in the Pasco Mountains are bringing it on. There was a general strike that started last week. A mobilization started with that. That started with a mining protest, but has evolved into, on the weekend, was a second day of paralyzing the Buenaventura mining operations there. And these folks are not putting up with it. The news from Peru. And let's see. This is Friday the 16th. The indigenous Gabe protesters in Panama and what they've been up to. They've been fighting a dam. Fighting the project actually since 2011. But the renewed contracts are have been getting people going. This latest dam would displace hundreds of families and cause environmental damage. And yeah, this is a massive hydro dam on their land in Panama, and it's really become a battle, a violent one. growing energy, yeah, against mines, dams, pipelines. This is Primitivo in action. Rarely is that word used, but not to put our lingo into their mouths, but that's the bottom line kind of stuff. Against extraction and industrialism and the plunder of the unbuilt earth. Let's see, yesterday in Kinshasa, Congo, the anti-government actions have really heightened. Street clashes against security forces opposed to the latest extension of power by the government. 17 dead, rioting, looting in the Congo. Closer to home, this was announced today. Lovely news. The Ned's Bar timber sale in the Southern Oregon Applegate Valley, down there between Williams and Ashland, I think it is, has been tree spiked. This has to do with the Bureau of Land Management's decision to go forward. And this is a 3,400-acre sale, by the way. So they always make an announcement. I don't know any tree spiking that hasn't been preceded by an announcement. Don't put these logs in the mill. Don't put your chainsaw to these trees, because you'll be sorry. We don't want people to get slashed or killed by that. We want to stop the devastation. And they add this message that came through today. For those opposed to the Ned's Bar timber sale, we'd like to remind you that known Green Scare snitch Suzanne Savoy and her almost equally untrustworthy partner, Luke Rudiger, are active in groups opposing Ned's Bar. But anyone serious about challenging the current state of ecological devastation be wise to exclude them from their lives, and especially environmental organizing. Can't trust them. Yeah, there's an anti-snitch culture message. It's important. And last night in Zurich, in Switzerland, there was a small pro-Rojava bomb against the Lafarge Holcim company that sends money to ISIS. Yeah, there's a domestic thing going on. And if you want to, this is, I think, somewhat interesting. A friend of mine in India, Deviraj Amiya, he was at the Budapest Degrowth Conference a couple of weeks ago. It's about degrowth, that there can't be climate change, climate justice, that is, without putting without degrowing the industrial menace. He was the most radical, the anti-civ voice there. And if you want to find this, his name is spelled Divyaraj, Divyaraj Amiya, Amiya, Divyaraj Amiya. And I think you can easily find that. I think it's also a Facebook deal. This would be the ad of the week, except it's not an ad. This is just a story that just is all too telling, another one like that. From The Guardian, we often get the best news from England, especially from papers like The Guardian, especially The Guardian itself. Features and news. Yeah, this is a piece by Rory Carroll called "We Need Human Interaction." Quote, "Meet the LA man who walks people for a living. As the digital age makes people more lonely, Chuck McCarthy created a service to stroll with strangers." Yeah, it's kind of sad. L.A., the enemy is pretty darn distinctive down there, especially. But, you got to hire somebody to walk with you. Yeah, the job is more people whisperer than walker, they add kind of needlessly. Yeah, human interaction, you got to pay for it. Sadness. Here in the local paper, the Eugene Register Guard, they're not missing out here. There's a pretty good op-ed piece yesterday, the 19th. the lonely Americans, we've never been more connected and more isolated. And the piece talks about the typical thing, 20-somethings sat at the same table at a Starbucks for 20 minutes, yet weren't speaking to each other, so lost were they in their respective smartphones. Despite our Facebook and Twitter fetishes, it could have said because of, Americans have never been more detached from one another or lonelier. And second, that loneliness is slowly killing us. It's a big, big health concern. I've cited that. Yeah, how about interacting with other living, breathing human beings in real time and in real space? That old face-to-face. Everybody's noticing it. And what is to be done? It's just couldn't be more starkly obvious, I would say. Yeah, along those lines, here's Dr. Karen Lojeski, Port Jefferson, New York. This is a New York Times letter to the editor a week ago. Loneliness is certainly a big problem among the elderly. The numbers may pale in comparison to the number of youths and adults that suffer the same malady from social isolation due to technology mediation via social media and simply feeling alone in a crowd as people screen skate through their days. My college students report that despite being around others, they often feel separate as more and more of their, quote, friends talk to screens instead of each other. It's gotten so bad that the president of the Student Association is asking for university administration help to initiate support groups so young people can find, quote, like-minded souls searching for social connection. They'll probably do it through through the internet, of course. Loneliness is not just a problem for the aged, but a problem for us in the age, for us all in the age of digital everything. Humanity's health overall may also be at risk as a result. Very good letter. Child suicides. Hate to be so gruesome with all this, but there was a piece, well, in the same paper, yesterday's Times. Who's too young for an app? And of course, the age goes right down to months now, apparently, for fitting people onto the online thing. And but this another piece of the puzzle, possibly also yesterday, research suggests ADD is a factor in child suicides. They're talking about children under 12. And how it is seemingly linked to attention deficit disorder. And that goes right along with the technology. It's hard to say exactly how causal that is, but the distraction of it even goes so far as to be a real factor in suicides among kiddies. Pretty awful. Well, and all the technology wonders go on. I was hearing something on NPR today about online consumerism. You order everything from Amazon and so forth. There's more packaging. There's more waste. There's more garbage going into the landfill than if you went to the store. It's got to be packed for shipping. So right there, it's kind of like it'll be a paperless world because we'll all be online. Well, not really, because of the photocopy machines, because you got a printer next to your computer pretty commonly, and it's way more paper consumption, way more trees needed, not fewer. So yeah, and we got the millions of recalls of different vehicles and the safe self-driving cars. So they can't build them to be safe, and you can't safely drive them either. You got to have the technology to drive the car. And of course, some cars already, like there are Volkswagen models and Kia models that have a self-braking feature. You can be asleep, but the machine will put on the brakes. More and more about how pornography is twisting and undermining face-to-face relating sexually. Pornography is hardly new, but it's just so enormously bigger online. It's quick, it's free. You can just get porn in an instant, and it's changing boys' expectations, damaging their real life connections. It certainly is. Well, we see that Chris is already in the building. I think I'm going to just, why don't we just decamp?
Just slide out early?
Slide out, yeah, just take a little lazy break. Those nihilists, and as we were saying, nothing is the watchword, so they didn't rise to the occasion and defend their thing. Maybe next week we'll get more calls. Carl and I will be here. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.
Carpe diem, carpe diem, carpe diem, carpe diem. Sing, cuckoo, sing. Death is a coming in. Sing, cuckoo, sing. Death is a coming. Death is a coming in. 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 Carpe diem, carpe diem, carpe diem, carpe diem. Sing, children, sing. Death is a coming. Sing, death is a coming.